Say hey to each other. Everybody, let's dive into God's Word together. I want to start by letting everyone know that our connection minister, Robin Priest, made it to the tippity top of Mount Kilimanjaro this week. Yeah. Awesome. Little selfie there that she took there at the top. She got back into the States yesterday, was really planning on being with us this morning. But they were canceling all the flights out of JFK yesterday, and I talked to her on the phone while she and Doug and a few others from the team were navigating their way through Brooklyn to drive home. So we'll be seeing her this week. We will give her a full welcome back next Sunday morning. But she did make it to the top. She said on Facebook, "It was cold, hard, amazing, and worth it all. Made it by your prayers and God's grace." She raised over $5,000 to build classrooms for a school in northwestern Kenya. That was her climb there was part of a larger effort to do just that. We are very, very proud of her. She rocks. She's awesome. We love her so much. And so make sure you congratulate her when you see her next week. But I love the fact that she did that. That's just awesome. In fact, I can barely imagine the steps that it took to accomplish this feat. I mean, man, think about it. One foot in front of the other, both on the mountain and really in the months before of training and preparation and logistics. And this is the thing about steps, which is what we're focusing on in this series, taking our next step. The thing about steps, and this her journey certainly reminds us of this, is that you can only take one at a time, and you go nowhere unless you take the next one. Amen? You got to keep taking steps if you're going to get where you need to be. And today, I want to talk about one of the most important steps that you and I can ever take. It's the step of total, hold nothing back, commitment to Jesus. Total commitment to Jesus. Robin's story certainly reinforces my main point this morning. Life doesn't fully begin until we go all in. And I'm prayerfully calling us this morning to consider whether or not we're all in, and make a decision today to do just that. Life comes from Jesus, and so going all in with Him is what life is all about and where life really begins. I'm preaching really to two categories of people this morning. One, today is your day to commit to Jesus and get baptized. That could be you today. If you're hearing my voice live or right now or online or wherever, today could be the day that you make your yes to Jesus and get baptized, which we'll talk about. Or there's a second category. Many of us, we've been baptized, and today is your day to renew wholeheartedly your commitment to Jesus and to living out the beautiful truths of that baptism. And I want to return us to some of those truths. Let's talk for a moment about baptism. Baptism is what new Christians do to express their commitment. We see this all over the place. The book of Acts is the book of the Bible that tells the story of the earliest Christians, the story of the first churches and the spread of the gospel and the very first Christians. And we see again and again that believing was followed by baptism. Those who accepted His message were baptized. When they believed, they were baptized, both men and women. Look, one guy says, after hearing the good news of Jesus, "There's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" His entire household, Acts 18, believed in the Lord, and many believed and were baptized. Acts 22, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on His name." We just see this pattern throughout. People believed, and then they expressed that belief in baptism. What's going on here? Well, when you think about it, belief and believing is a pretty intangible thing, right? I mean, you can't touch it. It's something we say, many times something we feel or think. But baptism takes that belief and then makes it tangible in a powerful way. Baptism's a sacred act of obedience. If you believe, you should be baptized, as we see here. That's the biblical pattern. Baptism symbolizes in some beautiful ways salvation, both our decision and God's action in salvation, in coming to Jesus, cleansing, total submersion, goodbye to the old, hello to the new. That's perfectly summarized in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." That's the promise of the gospel of Jesus, of coming to Jesus, is new life. Baptism solidifies our intentions. We have an intention to do something. We have an intention to follow Jesus. And baptism seals the deal, right? I mean, you take a step. You do something about what it is you say you believe and intend to do. Baptism's a gift. I think it's honestly one of the better descriptions of baptism. It is a gift from God. Because you think about salvation and belief and being cleansed of our sins and forgiveness and grace. Oh, these are pretty powerful and huge concepts. God knows that we could use a physical, memorable experience of all that theological, spiritual, mind-stretching truth. And so he knows he made us with skin and nerve endings. And he says, this idea of saying goodbye to the old and hello to the new, this idea of being spiritually cleansed, let's move that from just words and ideas, as powerful as those words and ideas are, let's move it into something that you'll never forget. Let's get in some water. Let's go all the way under. Let's come back up. And all the beautiful symbolism of that is then baked in, and we feel it, we experience it. We can talk and we can listen, we can even agree. But man, to feel and participate, to declare, to hear the words coming out of your mouth, to identify, I'm a follower of Jesus, there's nothing like it. It's a pivotal and powerful next step. We can break baptism down like this. What's the dynamics that are actually happening when we get to that point of saying yes to Jesus? I would put them, I would say these three things are happening in us. First one is heartfelt repentance. The second is unconditional surrender. And the third is devoted identification. Let me just briefly break that down, because if you've never been baptized, I want you to really hear that this is what when we say yes to Jesus, this is what's happening in us. And if you've already been baptized, this is part of your story and it's in your rearview mirror, I want to remind you of what that meant, that act of getting baptized. Heartfelt repentance means that I'm now convicted to turn in a new direction, in the direction of following Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching to thousands of people in Jerusalem. It's really what you might call the first Christian sermon. I mean, he's there and people are listening and he's telling them about Jesus and how he died on the cross for their sins and he rose from the dead. And in fact, it was our own human sin that put him up on that cross. And it says in verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They knew there was a next step. And their very instinct was, we got to do something about this. We're moved. We're cut to the heart. We have heartfelt repentance. What are we supposed to do? And Peter says, well, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. New life in God. The one who loves you, made you, knows you, wants to be with you. See, there's a confrontation here between the way they were living and this truth. And it might be tempting in our modern age to rub off the sharp edges of this situation, try to make the whole thing go down a little bit more smoothly, but it doesn't do us any favors. We need cut to the heart. Now, don't get me wrong, the whole message is dripping with love, but it's God's love for us. The confrontation here is that we are running headlong into the message that God loves us, and we are realizing how little attention we've paid to the God who made us and did everything to reunite with us, that we're living life on our own terms, and now we're confronted with Jesus, the reality of Him on that cross, and we are stopped in our tracks. We've been taking all kinds of steps, but they've been ours, not His. And we realize it. We've been living one way. While that was happening, Jesus on the cross, and we're convicted and we're challenged to take a radical new step in His way. That's heartfelt repentance, turning, because we're moved in our heart. Unconditional surrender means I'm no longer keeping my options open. I'm going all in. I'm all the way under. That's why we're submerged in baptism, right? We are all the way in, not keeping my options open. In Romans 6, we read, "We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Now, there's no halfway language here. We are buried with Him. Our old self, gone, dead, buried completely. We rise to new life, just as Jesus was buried in that tomb. So our old self, our weak and worn self, our regrettable, sometimes recalcitrant self, can be buried under that water. And just as Jesus was raised, so we can rise to new life, a forgiven and free self, a washed and wise self, a healthy and whole self. So it's a wholehearted commitment. Holding back means, okay, I kind of want to categorically become a Christian. I'd really like it when I die to not go to the bad place, right? So I'm going to kind of check that box, but most of the time, I'm still going to do life on my own terms. We might not say it out loud, but it's how we end up approaching it. But wholehearted, unconditional surrender means I'm not holding back. The actual reality of living a new life will not happen when I'm still choosing to do some things on my terms. The third thing I'm saying that's happening in us is devoted identification. In other words, we're declaring, this is completely who I am. I'm completely identified with Jesus. Before I'm anything else, before I'm a spouse, before I'm a man or a woman, before I'm in my profession, before I'm a son or daughter, before I'm anything, I am, as we sang earlier, a child of God. I am a disciple of Jesus. In Galatians 3, it says, "You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." That's the metaphor he's using here. You've wrapped yourself in the identity of Jesus. You're completely His. You're united with Him. In fact, in a very real way, the decision to say yes to Jesus and to express that in baptism, as I'm motioning over to the baptistry, if you can't see it, that's where it is. It's very much like getting married. It's saying your I do. It's putting on the rings. It's in every aspect of your life and character, now a deeper dimension exists. It touches everything. You're making that union and that commitment. You're all in. You're soaked, right? When you come up out of that water, there's no part of you that isn't dripping wet. Or, to mix the other metaphor, you're buried alive. You're all the way in. Your old self gone and buried. You're up to here. Completely identified, not holding back, heartfelt in your repentance. So maybe you've been a believer for a long time. Maybe you're hearing this and you have been following Jesus, but you've never really heard the full message, and I'm just touching on the major themes here, but you've never really been confronted with the idea of baptism and what it means as a step of obedience. There's no condemnation here, only encouragement. But hey, think about it. If you've already said your yes to Jesus, but you've not yet been baptized, it's like you're engaged, but go ahead and get married. Or you're already accepting, open to accepting the gifts of God, go ahead and accept this gift. Or you've decided to follow Him and align yourself as a Christian, go ahead and follow His example, because He Himself was baptized, just to make it clear how important it would be for all his followers. So follow his example and the example of countless Christians before you, all the way back to the very first ones. So that's baptism in a nutshell. I'm just going to kind of leave that right there for you and the Lord to talk about, all right? If you've not been baptized, then today might be your day. While you're thinking about that, before I move on to the rest of the message, I want you to enjoy this video as a dear outlooker named Amy Roberts tells her story of baptism. Check this out.
My name is Amy Roberts, and I've been attending Outlook for 5 years, and I've been a member for about a year. A little of my story, growing up, I did not go to church. Luckily, my husband did, and he had a good foundation, so when we got pregnant with our first kid, we wanted to find a church family, and luckily, Outlook's right down the road, so we started attending there. In December of 2014, my mom passed away. So I struggled with that quite a bit, just with sadness, and I just had another baby, and I think looking back, I was probably pretty upset with God. And so Jonathan just kept steering me in the right direction, and there's probably a day, a couple months before I got baptized, that I sat down and really, really prayed. I've prayed my whole life, but not the way I prayed that night. I prayed from my whole soul, I prayed, and in that moment knew I was not alone. That night I claimed Jesus as my Savior. It was a turning point in my life, my family's life, and ever since then I knew my next step would be to get baptized. For that couple months leading up to it, every time Rob said something about being baptized, there's this little like pull, like I was gonna get up and I was gonna go do it, and I was like, I can't do it. I'm too shy. I don't want everyone looking at me. So on August 30th, Jonathan ended up going to first service by himself because he taught Sunday school second service. So I went to second service by myself with the girls. When I came out afterwards, I met up with him, and he was like, man, I thought you were going to come out and say you got baptized, because Rob had talked about it during service. And I was like, no, but I'm going to go back in there and do it right now. I found Rob, and I was like, hey, I want to get baptized. And he was like, okay, do you want to do it at the beginning of third service, or you want to do it at the end? And I was like, no, can I do it right now? And he said, okay, and he was all for it, so we went right over there. I just remember Rob saying several times, do you have anything in your pockets? Like, I think he was worried I was gonna get in with my cell phone because it was going so fast. But I was like, no, there's nothing in my pockets. So we did it, and it was great. There was just a couple people standing around, and just looking at their faces, they were so happy for me. Like, it was just genuine happiness all around. It was perfect, and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
Many thanks to Amy for sharing her story. Love that. That was a great day. That was August 30th for Amy. Today might be your day to make that very decision. Now, I know it's a little colder outside than it was in August. We even brought a few things you could change into to get baptized in if you want. Or if you just want to schedule your baptism. It's not about whether or not you do it today, although I hope someone does, because you know today is a great day to get baptized if you've never been baptized. There is no wrong time, and there's no reason to wait to make your next step to Jesus. So that very well might be you today. But I also want to turn to the rest of us for whom we've already been baptized, and I want to talk about the power of the decision to rededicate yourself to your discipleship to Jesus. It was actually 28 years ago this week that I very unexpectedly found myself on the threshold of this next step. I've told the story before, and I won't go into all those details, but I found myself at a French church, even though I went to church quite a bit at my own church, and was confronted with this very decision. I had already made a very conscious decision earlier in my life to follow Jesus years before, was baptized. But in that intervening time, I had done what we talked about last week, that deadly thing that we all can do, I had drifted. My priorities had shifted. And I was in what I now realize for any and all of us is one of the most dangerous and tragic places we can be in. I knew the truth, and I did nothing about it. I knew that there was a power and a will of God to change and improve and put new life in me, and I didn't open myself up to let that happen. I knew God, and I choose to go my own way. I was aware of His love and His goodness toward me, but I'd become cool toward Him, disengaged from His life. I wasn't living a new life. I was living my life, the same old life as all my buddies, all my steps, but none of them going anywhere good. Oh, I went to church, in fact, quite a bit, but aside from church attendance, I was confronted with the question, how much actual evidence, actual life change, actual Jesus was present in me and who I was and in my day-to-day. And I realized very, very little. Jesus said this to a group of Christians in the book of Revelation, I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. This idea of rededication is not something we've made up or it's not foreign to the Scriptures. Christians have been needing to hear this message from the very beginning because it can happen to any of us. We start with our yes and we commit ourselves. We even get baptized and commit ourselves to this new life. But life happens and we drift and our love grows cold and our hunger for truth kind of goes away. We end up making our own decisions, going our own way. We slip back into becoming the Lord of our own lives. And yet we know better. And it's a tough place to be in. So I want to challenge us this morning. I'm sorry to say it, but sometimes we've just been at this too long, you and I as Christians. And we've convinced ourselves that halfway is now all the way. We picked a spot on this journey, on this path, and we decided we'd arrived. This is now the destination. I don't need to take any more steps. And we kind of set up camp, and we kind of decide, this is it. I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to learn anymore. I don't need to do anymore. There's no more difference I need to make in the world. I'm just going to kind of, here I am. I'm going to camp out right here and decide I've arrived. When we've got many wonderful places yet to go, many more next steps to take. And what we learned last week is we convince ourselves that we can just hold our ground, but instead what we don't always realize is happening is we're losing ground at that point. And you let those days turn into weeks, months, in years, and the way of Jesus and our way of life can seem hardly recognizable to each other. And it can happen and does happen to any of us. So for many here this morning, our next step might be to return to the truths and the beauty of our baptisms, to go back, to repent and recommit. C.S. Lewis put it like this in his book, Mere Christianity, and he says it perfectly. We all want progress. If you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. And in that case, the one who turns back soonest is the most progressive. So don't keep on keeping on the wrong road. The smartest thing we can do is to head back to the right road. Sometimes the best next step is to step back and get perspective, and to turn back so we can get on the right path. That might be your step this morning. Lewis goes on, we've all seen this when we do arithmetic. When I've started a sum the wrong way, the sooner I admit it and go back and start over again, the faster I shall get on. Going back is the quickest way on. And my heart for us this morning, my heart for you, dear outlooker, brother, or sister in Jesus, is that you get on with it this year. That God's got good stuff for you and for you to do and for you to become. And that's, for many of us, the best way to start to realize that new life, that reality, is to step back and go back and get on the right road and quit taking steps in the direction that we've been setting for ourselves, because it's not helping. And to get back to the beginning, to get back to the first love, to go old school, to take those first steps that Jesus said again. Go back to what you did before. What does this look like, this getting on with it, this recommitment? Well, it's really straightforward. It's those three things that happen in us when we started this journey. Heartfelt repentance because of Jesus. We're sorry for ignoring him. Unconditional surrender to Jesus. We're not going to keep being in charge of our lives. And devoted identification with Jesus. Proud and happy to be his. It's Jesus. It's realizing it doesn't get any better than Jesus. It's learning from and relying on Jesus and being stinking amazed and happy that we get to be a member of Jesus' family. This is the way Paul put it to the Colossians. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. It's that simple. Just as you started, don't lose it. And if you feel like you have, you can get back to it even now and then continue to live your life in him. In him. In Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He goes on a little later. He says, your sinful nature was put off, having been buried with him in baptism. There it is again. See, that's the core truth, right? The core truth is there was a moment in time when our yes to Jesus meant saying no to all we'd been. Get back to that, he says. Quit putting on what faith in Christ has taken off of you. You're no longer that person. Start to walk. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have it all figured out. But start climbing that mountain. Start putting one foot in front of the other. Start taking steps. You'll be amazed at where you'll go. He says something similar to the Corinthians. He reminds them, man, remember what you were like before Jesus? Immoral, adulterers, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers. He has this whole nasty list. And then he says, that's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. He says, don't forget who you are. And you're none of that anymore. So quit acting like it. Quit slipping into it. Don't allow yourself to fall for it. He's perplexed. That's what you used to be. But man, you've put on Christ. Remember, that's the other thing. You've put on him like a set of clothes. You've identified with him. We can ask ourselves this morning, am I? Have I clothed myself with Jesus? You can. Again, today, you can put him back on and say, this is who I am. The best thing we can do is go all in. In fact, all we need to do is just go all in. He'll figure out the rest for you. Just go all in. I read earlier that anyone who belongs to Christ, the Bible says, has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. But this is what Paul says just after that. And it's our appeal this morning and how I want to wrap up our time together. He says, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Hear those words this morning. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever that looks like, for you, if there's distance between you and this one who knows you, loves you anyway, made you, has good things for you, wants to be united and do life with you, come back to God, he says. And then he goes on. Lest any of us think this isn't possible for us, it's right here in the scriptures. We beg you, he says, to not accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. Which any of us have been guilty of, can be guilty of. I know I was absolutely guilty of it until that night 28 years ago when I was confronted and made a decision years after my baptism that I was never the same after that night. That rededication can be an immensely powerful decision. It says, don't accept the gift and then ignore it. Indeed, he says, and this is our message today, the right time is now. Today is day of salvation. Today can be your day to say yes to Jesus. Maybe even get baptized, or let's start that conversation, or let's schedule it, or you name it, whatever. But today might be your day in which you need to make your all-in yes to Jesus for the first time. Or today might be your day. And something in you can stir. Our elders and our ministers have been praying for this moment all week. And others have too. That the Holy Spirit would stir in our hearts to say, you know this is true. We both know the decision that you need to make, and that today you could make it, because no one can make it for us. Today could be the day that you take that next step. So we're going to enter into several minutes here of worship and response, and it's going to look different ways for different people. There are tables with communion all around the perimeter of the auditorium. And so one of the ways any and all of us can respond is by taking that communion and remembering Jesus' death on the cross and taking that bread and the cup when you're ready and just going to those tables and doing that. And perhaps in that moment, you need to be able to say your yes or your renewed yes to Jesus. Any of us can do that, and I hope you do. You'll also see intermixed near those tables around the perimeter of the auditorium, ministers and elders with lanyards, white name tags, so you'll be able to see them. They've been praying for you all week. They'll be praying right now, and they'll be happy to pray with you if you want. Sometimes when we're ready to make a decision, it's a huge leverage point for us to be able to say that to someone else, to look someone in the eye and say, I'm deciding today to renew my commitment as a disciple of Jesus. That might be where you are, and you would love it if someone who loves you could pray for you, leaders of our church. They'd love to serve you in that way. That might be a great thing for you to do. Or you might be ready to get wet today. You might be ready to go all in today. I'll be hanging, the baptistry's right over here, and I'll be hanging around over there while we sing these worship songs. It will be time, we'll be able to sing the whole time while we're doing this, communion and prayer and decisions. And so let all of that soak in and make this a time of response and rededication for you. And if you want prayer, then take that. And if you want to talk to me about getting baptized, meet me by the baptistry. Let's all stand and sing and make these next few minutes a time to do business between ourselves and the Lord.